Welcome back to the Roundtable's live broadcast from Tanglewood. Support comes from Bards Fisher Center, presenting Summerscape 2015, featuring theater, opera, cabaret, and the 26th Bard Music Festival. Chavez and His World through August 16th. Tickets available fishercenter.bard.edu. Country Curtains of the Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering home decor and window treatments for over 50 years. Countrycurtains.com and the Red Lion Inn, Stockbridge, Massachusetts, offering farm fresh cuisine, outdoor dining, and nightly entertainment. 10 minutes from Tanglewood, redlioninn.com.
Wow. Shakespeare and Company is a cultural and physical neighbor to Tanglewood. Located here in Lenox, Massachusetts, Shakespeare and Company was founded in 1978.
Their summer season includes three Shakespeare plays, Henry V, The Comedy of Errors, and Hamlet, plus the regional premiere of Red Velvet and the world premiere of Jane Anderson's Mother of the Maid, starring Tina Packer.
The summer season includes The Unexpected Man and open with Sarah Treem's The How and Why. And by the way, Joe, just so you know, the insiders on Shakespeare, they never say Henry V. They always say, like, Henry V. Thought you'd want to know that.
Okay.
You talk to any of the inside guys, that's what they say.
Hank Sink.
Hank Sink?
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Here to tell us more are Tabby Magar. She is director of Comedy of Errors, and she'll tell us about that in just a moment. Jonathan Croy is a longtime company veteran artist starring in...
Henry V.
Yeah. Henry V. And we also welcome Seth Gordon, who is making his Shakespeare and Company directing debut with Tony Award-winning playwright Yasmina... Is it Reza?
Reza.
Reza's The Unexpected Man. Welcome to you all. Thank you very much for being with us. Tabby, let us begin with you because you have to run here. This is very Bob Hope of you. I like this. This is nice. You come in, you go, I'm sorry, I got to go. But you're in tech. You're getting ready to put this thing up, Comedy of Errors. How is it going?
It's going really well. We have our first audience tomorrow, which is a really exciting moment for a comedy. You know, we spend a lot of rehearsal trying to make each other laugh, and then we're never sure if anyone else is going to laugh. But we've had a total blast in rehearsal, and literally every day someone is laughing so hard they cry. So
is it comedy hard? Comedy is hard.
It is so hard. Especially Shakespeare, he puts it in the title. It's so mean. It's like you can't hide, you know.
But he also put errors in there, too.
So You can screw up, right? Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a real blast. Yeah, but it is really hard because it's about rhythm. And
do you consult with Shakespeare much in terms of what he would have expected of you in your
like
direction?
A séance?
Like, do
thing?
I call him? Is that what
you mean? No, is there a séance? Or I mean, how do you? And I don't even know if there was a Shakespeare, to be perfectly honest with you. But I'm just sort of wondering whether or not. How you get your direction.
I mean, I think what I do is I read the play and do a heavy prep script analysis on it, and I like to talk to a lot of people about the play, and then I let myself dream about it and just have ideas, and then, try to understand the world that he was making and try to understand what it means for us today in the world.
So was it a dream when you said, you know what this show needs? Roller skates.
I will say my costume designer and I had a couple of drinks and a really good Italian dinner.
All the best ideas come.
Truly. I mean, alcohol can be really fun in the theater. It really helped free you up, especially for this piece, which is totally absurd and a truly fantastic farce.
So is it set in a contemporary place and time?
Yes, okay. It is, yeah. But I think we've decided to keep that as a little bit of a secret.
Okay, I'll shut up on the radio.
Get out of the bag.
But it's been really playful. Our attack on the play, I think, has been really strong. So.
Okay, so when you decide to do that, that gives you a little latitude, doesn't it? I mean, as far as, we don't have to be completely compliant with this sacred text.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I like to approach all Shakespeare texts as new plays. I mean, that's the only way I want to understand them. That's the only reason I consider doing Shakespeare, is that he still means so much to who we are today. So, making those choices just unleashes a lot of freedom. And actually, the boundaries actually set us free in a lot of ways by setting it in a certain place.
So how did you get where you are?
How did I, as a director?
Yeah, I mean, that's not easy. Everybody wants to be a director. Everybody, you know.
Right. I mean, I guess, I was 9 years old, really shy. My parents, psychic, said that I should do theater, and, that started it all. And then I was an actor for a while. And then...
Is that when you first talked to Shakespeare with your parents?
Yeah, in the psychic, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, I was freelance for 7 years in New York City. And then last year, I finished my master's degree at Brown University. Yeah.
Now, so you will come in and do this, and now you've brought in some people that you've worked with, and the meshing with the new company, or with the standard, the old veterans, the old grizzled veterans of Shakespeare and Company.
Yeah, we have a nice mixture of company members and some new incredible actors, and I also brought on this incredible choreographer named Jesse Perez, who has thrown some impossibly wonderful, chaotic, beautiful dances into keep the fun going. And
that's a male Jesse or a female Jesse?
A male Jesse.
A male Jesse, yeah.
He's great.
All right. So Tabby McGarr is directing the Comedy of Errors. It runs, it opens tomorrow. It runs through August 23rd. And, of course, you can find more information by going to shakespeare.org, shakespeare.org. You are free to go.
Oh, thank you so much.
I don't want your actors waiting for you, for goodness sakes. Thanks. But thank you so much, and what a great pleasure. Best of luck. We'll be thinking of
Thanks.
You.
Thanks. Thanks okay, for having
great.
Me.
You guys can talk about her in just a second. She'll be here. Please. Now, let us talk about some of the other great things that are going on. And Jonathan, you're a longtime company veteran, so how does this season shaping up as far as you're concerned?
It's an exceptionally strong season, and I know I'm supposed to say that, for once I can actually say it honestly too. It really is a terrific season. It's got a lot of breadth to it. We've got, this deliciously irreverent take on Comedy of Errors, and then we've got Henry V, which is wildly imaginative, but at the same time doesn't take a whole lot of liberties with the show, given that it's being performed by 8 actors. We've got an exceptional lineup of women writers this year. All the non-Shakespeare titles were written by women or co-written by women, and every single one of them. You've got The How and the Why, which is a sort of standard recent modern play dealing with issues that I think families, that mothers and daughters, that women in general will find really interesting and appealing. We've also got The Unexpected Man, which is witty and gentle and sort of ruminative in a lot of ways. It's a season that has breadth.
Did Shakespeare like women?
I left my Ouija board at home. But
you don't know.
I think he was a humanist, honestly. I think he saw us all for the value of who we are without regard to our gender, our cultural heritage. Given that there are obvious parameters that society puts on it.
At the time.
If only somebody, a Shakespeare scholar, had written a book on that subject.
Perfect segue to plug Tina Packer's Women of Will.
Yeah, so about the role of women in Shakespeare. But it's fascinating.
It really is.
When, how's Henry V going?
Terrifically.
Bye. Terrifically,
we opened
Hank Sank.
We opened last weekend, and audiences have been really enthusiastic. Ryan Winkles is playing Henry, and he's doing an outstanding job. And the rehearsal process itself was sort of standard issue, old practice Shakespeare and Company work. And so it's been really delightful to be in the rehearsal room, mixing it up with a bunch of people.
So there are Shakespeare companies, let's face it, all over the world.
There are.
All over the country.
Most produced playwright in the world.
Yeah, but what I don't get is how you got Shakespeare.org for just your company. I mean, with all of these people, these predators at each other, like...
They were smart and first.
Like piranha fish.
Well, true story. Back in the 90s, we didn't even have computers in our offices, but we did have an intern from a program that we used to work with at MIT. And one day this intern speaks up in a meeting and he says, you guys really need to think ahead on this big thing that's coming. Yeah. And we're all going, what? Inter what? And he's the one who registered the name, and now it's the greatest domain name in the world for a Shakespeare company. That's for sure.
Shakespeare.org for more information. Seth Gordon is making his directing debut, as we mentioned, for The Unexpected Man. What brought you to Shakespeare and Company to do this?
A plane to Bradley Airport.
Excellent.
But
yeah. How are the peanuts?
Excellent. Excellent. I'm friendly with Rick Dildine, who was artistic director here for a little while, and I've loved the play for years. I've directed it once before in Houston, and I showed him the play, and he fell in love with it immediately. And when I got here, everybody was telling me on the staff about how much they love the play. It's the kind of play you read it once, and there aren't many plays that read like page turners the way a novel does, and this one does. And just like me, everybody here has fell in love with the play right away. So that's what brought me here.
What is it about? How would you describe it to people?
The play, I would describe it as it's a genre pretty much of its own. I would describe it as a romantic thriller. It takes place in a European train compartment. You know, in Europe, very often when you ride in a long-term train or a long-distance train, you don't sit with everyone. They have individual compartments,
right.
And anywhere from 2 to 5 people can sit in them. So there are two people sitting across from each other who don't know each other. One of them is a very famous playwright, and the other is a woman who considers herself his biggest fan. And she has his most recent novel, The Unexpected Man, in her handbag. And during the course of the trip, as is very often the case when two people sit in a car and don't know each other, they don't speak.
Right.
And so the woman is thinking about the book and about the fact that this man who's meant so much to her in her life is sitting directly across from her. And how do I approach him? How do I tell him how much he's meant to me all through these years as I reach this crossroads in my life where my best friend has passed away and I'm perhaps opening up a new chapter in my life, and how do I feel about that, and what does it all mean when I think about the wonderful books this man has written? And the man is sitting across from her thinking to himself all the small things that are happening in his life, and do I keep writing? Have I written myself out? Is there anything more that I should write in my life? What should I do next? And who is this woman sitting across from me? How come she doesn't read anything? And then, like any novelist, he starts thinking to himself, who is she really? And he starts making up a whole life for her. And she's sitting across from him thinking, who is he really? And does he mean everything he writes in his books, or is he just doing it for show? And slowly but surely, they start getting to know each other more and more without actually speaking, with the use of their imagination. And then at the end of the play, I'm not telling you. You'll have to find out.
I go see that show. I want to know what happens.
But what I don't get is, if you read comic books as I did as a young man, you always knew when somebody was talking because it was a solid line. Then you always knew when somebody was thinking because it was a dotted line. Right. For those of us who are a little bit more psychotic, we knew as we were walking down the street on Fire Island that somebody might pass us and see the bubble with the with a broken line. But okay. So the question for you is, how do you do that? How do you let people know that they're thinking it as opposed to saying it?
Well, it will be apparent almost immediately that the other person isn't hearing. And then during the course of the play, they very often make mention of the fact that they're thinking what they're thinking. And especially the woman who is saying, it's an outpouring. It's, if you ever see somebody who has meant a lot to you in your life, they're a famous actor or a famous writer, and you gush.
Right.
So she's gushing. And as she does it, she says, I can't possibly tell you this out loud. But here's what I really think.
But at some point, right, they have to. You have to hear their real voice as opposed to their thinking voice, don't you?
Yes.
And they have to, as actors, you have to sort of teach them to differentiate between the real voice and the broken dotted voice?
Inside voice and the outside voice.
Yeah.
Yes, and it will be clear to the audience.
Is that hard to do as a director?
It's not hard to do, actually, because very often, Hamlet says that we're holding the mirror up to nature. And when people sit across from each other and think about each other, there's a behavior that they have. And when people actually speak to each other, there's a behavior that they have. And so that's what we're doing. And I think an audience will know almost right away.
Right, right. God forgive me if, when I'm sitting across from somebody, the audience knows what I'm thinking.
Oh, yes. No question about that.
Imagine the other person. Yeah.
Which is part of what makes the play exciting, I think, that we're kind of opening that door and letting people know what someone is really thinking.
Right.
Well, that show is The Unexpected Man, and it's an amazing season. The How and the Why, Hamlet, The Comedy of Errors, Henry V, Red Velvet, Mother of the Maid, and you can find out about the entire season by going to Shakespeare.org, Shakespeare.org. Jonathan Croy and Seth Gordon, thank you so much for being with us. A great pleasure, as always, to have you here.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.